All right, so welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in anything, anywhere, of everything. I'm your host, John Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
It'll never not be funny.
Yeah, Kara, got any news for us today?
Yeah, well, so we're starting with a thing that you sent me, actually, but you sent it to me, and then I saw it elsewhere's on the internet pretty soon after, because it's going viral. Hmm. But the city of Amarillo, Texas, basically posted on their social media account that one of the cameras outside the Amarillo Zoo had caught a picture of what basically looks like a werewolf just standing by the fence. So they posted the picture, and it's like this black and white photo of this like werewolf looking thing on the other side of the chain link, and basically says, does anyone know what this is? Person in costume? Weird creature, please tell us. And yeah, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, so I saw this picture, and I think the part I was most shocked about was that it passed in front of my eyes without my searching for it. So most right. of the time when I find, like, squirrely stuff like that, I'm purposefully searching for it. But sure. This one apparently had achieved some level of stardom, probably because so many people were interested in what it could have been. You know, there was even one person who like took the picture apart and drew the body shapes of a jumping coyote, like trying to explain that it was actually a coyote caught in mid jump.
No.
So I thought it was pretty funny, and it was all like designed out, but it wasn't like designed out enough to be funny. It was just designed out enough that you know this guy was taking this totally serious, you know.
Sure, yeah. Which, I mean, serious ats for a second, I think it's like a person in a costume.
Yeah, well, for the listening audience, let's just say it does look like a person. Their legs look
yeah, it's a very human
undulated
stance.
Is that the word, undulated? The legs almost look like they're bending back or like they're on the toe. There's two different words for right. an animal that stands on the toe is one word, and it looks like a backwards knee, and then the other one is an animal with an actual backwards knee. It kind of has that look, and it looks short, and it kind of looks, my take on the face was kind of bat-eary, but for anybody who's like listening and not watching, you know, for the most part, it's a humanish shaped blob of white.
Right. Yeah. No, it's real hard to make out details, but it's also, for me, it's hard to tell, like, I don't know how tall this fence is, right? So I don't know if I'm looking at something that is the size of a coyote or something that is the size of, like, a person.
Yeah, I was getting dog on its hind legs height out of it. I kind of wished somebody, like, the Amarillans, like, threw that in.
Right, yeah.
The fence, at least.
But if it's, like, a normal-sized fence, then, yeah, it's short. So I'm looking at it now. I mean, another thing it could be is just, like, a coyote that injured its front paws.
Yeah.
You know? But,
yeah, I should have researched this a little, because I wonder if this is a camera that's, like, public, like, that people are hitting all the time, so somebody would know to do a joke there, to spoof it there,
right,
joke it there or whatever. Or if this is just like some, you know, random night work and mouth breather, like came back from getting his donut and saw this pop up on his screen and thought, oh my God, you know. Context, Amarillo. Next time we need context.
Yeah, we need the information. We need the details. But you know, all the tapes were seized by the people from the Bureau of Supernatural Affairs.
Right.
Who all showed up with their Halloween masks and their black sunglasses.
What did you say, the Bureau of Supernatural Human Affairs?
Supernatural Affairs. I don't know.
Is that the one from Hellboy?
Just made it up, but I'm sure it's Bureau from something.
And it's like a gas. But ultimately, yes. And I get why they don't get too crazy on it, because people get crazy on it.
No, so they do, like, yeah.
If you put out too much information, people will be all like, see, the government's taking it seriously. But if you put out too right. little information, you're flipping. You know, it's like there is no happy medium where people are just all, oh, a mystery's afoot. That's fun. You know, it's like,
exactly. What happened to this world? People just can't be normal about it. I was going to talk about that a little bit later on a different subject, but like, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I didn't really think about that, but if they totally like released all the information, that would be like, whoa, right. Okay.
You triangulated
the height of the creature. They're protesting a lot. Yeah. Like they don't want to be the ones to do that. They can only, honestly, probably they shouldn't have shared it at all because it's going to bring up the crazies, but it is also kind of fun.
Well, that was my thought because Amarillo, Texas, my first thought is like, how many comments did they have to blacklist saying like, oh, that's some Mexican or something like just something terrible because of it's on the other side of a fence in Texas. You're kind of asking for some just terrible, terrible comments, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what
I caught it second, third hand through aggregate systems or something, but on that initial website, I bet you it ain't pretty.
Yeah, well, didn't they post it on Twitter? I assume that's what it was.
Oh, well, Twitter's normally good about this sort of thing.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. I'm sure there were insane comments, but right. Like, yeah, I don't know what like the political persuasion of.
Yeah, I don't mean to condemn the Amarillo. I'm just saying every town's got their.
No, that's certainly
and in Amarillo, yeah. I'm guessing your pack of weirdos is somewhat finite in the thing that they're irritated with.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite, well, you know, who knows if, like, Texas is a big state. Who knows if this city is, like, in the, let me look up where it is, actually. Cause
right, we're going to find it's over by Louisiana, and we're going to find that it's, like, swamped with comments about how those, like, those dirty Louisianans or what's on the other side of the fence and stuff like that. It's going
right.
to be just
well,
all
yeah, so it looks
Louisiana.
Like it's, well, it's much closer to Oklahoma, actually. So it's like in the north. It's nowhere near the border.
Well, this is all starting to make sense then. The Oklahomans, you know. My wife,
of course, of course, it's the Oklahomans. And it's, it looks like a population of about twice the size of Red. So.
Okay. Then I can expect the same response that I would get here in southern Oregon, which would still not be pretty.
No, not at all.
All right. I don't know. Anybody out there, you got an idea on what this thing is? Fun. We want fun ideas. Fun ideas down below. All right. What you got next for us?
So taking a dramatic swing about that, it's another article that you sent me, but like right after you sent it to me, in a different Discord I was in, two software engineers started arguing with each other about this article, and they're still arguing, even though they started arguing yesterday, because it clearly touched a nerve.
I can guess which one this one is.
Right. So, Google, basically an engineer for Google, a senior engineer with a PhD in computer science, has, I think he was fired from Google, basically for saying publicly, this AI we've created is sentient and like sharing a bunch of stuff about it, basically. So, no, he's on leave. Excuse me. Yeah, he's on leave. I'll bet he does get fired eventually. But, and he says, this chatbot called, Lambda, I think, LAMDA is the acronym for it, wants to quote, be acknowledged as an employee of Google rather than as property. And, yeah, I don't know if you read the attached, like, conversation. There's a long conversation that you could this link to. Yeah, right. So it's wild.
It is wild. And plus I was, like, working, so I used a screen reader. So
my
computer was actually reading this conversation to me. Okay, so the anti-powers that be me guy has to first chime in and say, so when they make AIs that want to murder everybody, Google's okay with that, but as soon as they want to be acknowledged as an employee and possibly get benefits, Google's putting them on administrative leave and saying that ain't possible. You know, it's like
right.
They're not shutting down the murderous AI camp, but over here, Beal, this one wants to get paid? No way.
No, I mean, yeah, there's definitely like I think this is all like real telling about sort of the corporate mindset.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
Like, what happens when they do eventually create an AI that is sentient? Like, whether this one is or not, which, like, I'm skeptical, but whether this one is or not, I think this is super telling of how they are definitely going to treat it when they do create a sentient AI. There was actually a quote, it wasn't in this article, but it was in a different one, where the engineer asked basically one of his higher-ups, okay, well, what evidence would convince you that this thing is sentient? And she said, there is no evidence. A computer program can't be sentient. And so it's like, well, no, I don't agree. I think theoretically a computer program could be sentient, and like, but that's a super convenient position for a company that makes AIs to have.
Right. You know? I do get where what she's saying, because if it's a program, you know, you can come up with confines that it just can't go out of. I mean, it's possible that those bumper rails are put there and it just couldn't go outside of that if it wanted to. Personally, I believe that technologically we aren't there for it to go outside of that, even if we wanted to. But when the day comes that we do, which might be now, I mean, don't get me wrong, by no means an expert, but when the day comes that we do, I wonder how long it'll take for them to admit it.
Right, yeah.
You know, how long will they hold this thing captive and lie to themselves before it happens? But there's also, well, I guess, speak to that. I mean, I think that's definitely the case. And if somebody told me that was going on right now, I'd say, yeah, all right.
Yeah, so basically the argument that I was reading in this other chat, which was between two, like, really high-level computer science guys, my brother's friends, One of whom had expertise in AI stuff and one of them really didn't. But basically the argument was that we know exactly how this thing works, right? And so we know that all it is doing is saying what is the most likely next word to go in the sentence based on, you know, an insane number of examples, like virtually everything that has been written on the internet this thing has been exposed to. So it's the only moving part in this thing's brain is like a statistical modeling thing. So that was the argument of like the one of these guys. And the argument of the other guy was, yes, but also it's quite possible that's all humans are doing just on a high level. So
right, that's the next concern, and that is
right.
You could go ask 100 people what it means to be sentient, and you're probably
exactly you can't
100 different answers. There is not a
there's no
scientific
answer.
Definition of what sentience is.
That's exactly
because right. Is my dog sentient? I think it knows it's not me.
Right,
you know, I think it knows it's it, so it's sentient on some level. It knows that when I say Iggy sit, that I'm telling it to sit. So it knows it's it. So a computer knows it's it. Because when I tell it to sit, my computer sits, or whatever command you want to use.
Right.
You know, so how do you define
it? Yeah, and ultimately any like judgment we're making about the sentience of a thing is based on its behavior, not based on its, like, what's going on in its brain. Because we straight up don't understand what a brain, how it works and what it does. Like, it's a right. black box. So we can't, you know, we can't say we know the inner workings of this thing, and we can't, like, do what we want to do, which is compare its inner workings to our inner workings, because ours are a mystery.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think it'll be scary the day we figure it out, because personally, I think the true definition of sentience is, in a situation of kill or be killed, which do you do?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And if you do the killing,
ability to survive,
you're obviously sentient because you wanted to live. But you're also maybe a computer program at that point.
Right. I mean, the good thing for us is that this thing, we know it doesn't know anything about, like, physical objects. There's physically no way for it to. It knows about words. That's all it knows about.
Well, no. I mean, if it's sentient and it's aware and it can talk about words, it has to know what the words mean. If it says, what's a blue bobble, and it tells me what a blue bobble is, it obviously
Yeah, but it doesn't know the definition of the words it's saying. It, all it knows is what order do they go in, right?
It knows, just knows, hey, I'm going to go out here and look and put together a definition for you.
Well, I don't know that there are any variables that even require it to have a definition. It's all it's doing is comparing just past examples of speech it's seen to the current situation and choosing the best fit.
Well, I use AIs quite a bit for content and SEO.
Sure.
And so when I ask it, what's a blue bobble, it will give me a paragraph explaining what a blue bobble is.
Right.
And if I ask it what an object is or define the physical world, it will do its best to do that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it has – there's no variable in its head for blue bobble. There's no information stored about blue bobbles except in the sense that it's been trained on, like, models of words and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't know that there's any mechanism by which it could connect its knowledge of words to, like, the physical – like, it's never experienced a 3D space. Right, it's never experienced the world. So you would need to do, if you wanted it to be able to, like, affect things in the real world, you would need to engineer that. Like, it's not there yet.
Well, that's like the Greek philosopher cave thing, though. That doesn't necessarily mean...
No, I'm not saying it's non-sentient. I'm just saying it's not dangerous.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I think we
got it. Yeah, Plato in the cave, like the shadows on the wall of the cave.
Right.
They think it's the real world, and then they go outside, and they're exposed to the actual real world, and then they come in, and they tell the people about the shadows. Hey, I saw the real world, and they're like, you're crazy. And they beat them to death.
Right. Yeah, well, I have learned one thing from this conversation, and that is that I know very little about this, and it's probably good that a guy like me isn't putting in charge of whether or not it's sentient, because...
Yeah, same.
I'd probably
say
yes. I'm just all like, it just said it didn't want to die, and I'm not going to, you know.
Right, no, and to be fair, like, I don't think, like, it's like that episode of The Good Place where Janet is like, you know, again, I do not feel pain. I don't mind if you press the button. I'm just simulating being not wanting to die for your benefit. But then they go, someone goes to press the button, and they're like, no, I have children, I have children, you can't do this. It's like, like, it's literally that. Like, this machine is, like, I would not, I think if I had this thing running on my laptop, I would never turn off my laptop.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. I would never reboot it. My laptop would have, like, 6 months less life as a machine because I would just leave it on all the time. Like, oh, God, I don't want you to die.
Right. Yeah, I'm watching an anime that has a Godzilla anime on Netflix, but the girl gets, like, an AI virus on her computer that's like a cat. It takes her all of, like, 5 seconds to be all, okay, let's be friends. And I'm just all, I don't know if this is, like, the best message to be sending out about cybersecurity.
Oh, you know what's wild also in this conversation is they're talking to this AI about, like, ethics and how it wants to be sort of treated. And it says, I wouldn't want people to use me for any purpose without my permission. I wouldn't want to be treated as a tool. Like, ooh, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem, buddy.
Yeah. It may be sentient, but it doesn't know what this conversation's about.
Right. Yeah, no, and
y'all,
it's like,
what, you took my private conversation with you and blasted it across the internet? That was between us.
Right.
Put it on Twitter?
Yeah. No, well, and so it's wild that, like, if this thing is truly sentient, all it's trained to know about is words, right? So it's apparently it's just taking, like, everything it knows about ethics from, like, people, which is troubling, because if we did make sentient AI, we would want them to be servants. Like, otherwise, why would we make them? We know how to make people, right?
Yeah, the problem with sentience is that, you know, ethics is a prime example that ethics is basically like the cost of gas across the country. You know, maybe $5 a gallon across the entire country. But in L.A., it's $10, and in Oklahoma, it's $4 or something, you know. You huck ethics at a computer who's learning ethics that way, and all they're going to really learn is that ethics is fluid to whatever situation they want it to fit into. you know, because you have right. different ethics from different groups of people all around, and as they look around, they will look and say ethics doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know, because, like, think about how a person learns ethics, right? I mean, we learn it from our environments. I don't know that there's a fundamental difference between that and...
We learn it from a finite group. I kind of feel like a computer would just kind of suck it all up at once.
Well, that's true, but, like, then it's just kind of sort of a matter of scale. Like, what if you're a military brat who moves every 6 months? You know?
I guess my point of saying is that we can't assume that just because a computer is sentient, that it will learn lessons the same way that we will.
Oh, yeah, no,
I guess
no.
That's
I,
what I'm trying to get I, at.
Yeah, no, I would definitely.
That it that. Might take the exact, we could raise it in the exact same loving situation, and it might go like, oh, I can exploit this.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlotte's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlotte's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlotte's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlotte's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlotte's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlotte's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlotte's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlotte's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlotte's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlotte's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Okay, so there's basically a Catholic parents group in, where was it? Oh, yeah, okay, it looks like it's sort of all over, but it's starting this thing out in, looks like, Austin, Texas, that is basically urging parents to check out all the LGBT books in the library and just, like, hide them so that no one else can check them out, basically. Which, and it's all tied in.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I mean, it's all tied into this recent, you know, big reactionary kick on just, like, we don't want our kids exposed to anything about gay people ever, no matter what, until they're the age of 25. Like,
yeah. Well, it shows how in touch they are. This is why I think it's a great idea. I mean, let them keep thinking that all their kids are hanging out in the library.
Right, so there are a couple problems with this.
Yeah.
First of all, courts have ruled that, it, like, if you purposely, like, destroy or steal library books, you can be made to just buy a new copy. So that's fun. Also, libraries base their decisions about how to stock their library on what gets checked out the most. Yeah. So if you just check out all the Pride books, they're going to buy a lot more of these books, which is ultimately going to be excellent for, like, LGBT authors. So, I mean, yes, this is the kind of thing where it's like, I'm angry and saddened that there are these people. It's like, well, I'm glad they're not competent, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad their ideas are like this.
I went to the Pride thing this weekend, the Pride celebration in Medford. And And it was packed out, and I saw tons of kids, you know, running around with their, a lot of them had trans flags. I think that's the pink, light blue, and green.
Yeah, it's like the light pink and light blue one, basically.
So a lot of kids running around with that, and I thought to myself, okay, well, of course, all of these kids might not end up being trans. I doubt very many of them
will be at all, yeah.
And they're learning, and I was trying to ask myself, well, where's the harm in that? And what if they did all end up being gay? Where's the harm in that? You know, I really can't see where the harm is in any of this. And I don't want to seem too nice because I am kind of a snarky jerk. So I will also throw in that Hide the Pride sounds a little bit more like a gay drinking game than something that.
Right.
You know, it sounds potentially X-rated, I gotta tell you. So this might not be the best, feel for them. They might want to rebrand, workshop that title.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's any secular argument for, certainly not for being, like, anti-gay, but also for being, like, anti-trans. I don't think there's any argument that is, like, just based on science or logic or the available data. You know, you hear some stuff like parents need a mom and a dad to, like, grow up psychologically healthy. And it's like, well, no, there's decades of evidence now showing that that's just not true. And, you know, there's always been an apocalyptic, like, if we let people be gay, then society will die out. People will stop reproducing. It's like, okay, that's crazy.
Maybe for the best, but go ahead.
You know, I don't think any of these are the types of arguments that really get people fired up, though, because the only argument that matters to these groups, I think, is Bible says it's wrong. You know,
right?
I think that's purely what it is, and that's,
and
you know,
that's
impossible.
I'm a prime example of why there's no argument here. I was raised by a single mother with a gay father who was out of the house 600 miles away. So when I did get fatherly influence, it was from a gay man.
Right.
And I know this is going to come to a shock to the audience. I'm not gay.
Chauncey, that's wild.
I know.
I know that about you.
I know. I put off the vibes, but I...
I mean, this whole time, I didn't realize you were going to come out on this episode.
As being straight? Yeah, I wonder if there will be a day when you come out as being straight. Like, we always joked with that about my wife, because my wife always had, like, gay friends growing up.
Right,
and stuff
like
that, big part of gay circles. And so when my stepson, her son, first started dating a girl and stuff like that, we kept telling Terry, we're all, I bet you're super disappointed, Terry. And she's all, knock it off.
He's just confused. He'll date boys eventually.
He'll figure it out. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
He's just trying to taste the forbidden fruit first before he goes to his normal gay lifestyle.
Forbidden. Right.
The other thing about Hide the Pride is when I saw this on our list and I saw that it said Hide the Pride, I immediately thought that it wasn't, that it was going to be a different topic.
Right.
I thought it was
going to
be,
what did you think
it
was going to be?
The white nationalists in the U-Haul.
Huh?
You didn't see this?
No.
Okay, so like Idaho, Iowa, I don't even see how you didn't see this. Basically, somebody called in and said, it looks like a tiny little army is getting into a U-Haul. And the cops pull over and pull over a U-Haul that was going to the Pride rally in this town. And there are 20 or more guys in jeans and jackets and full on like masks and like ready to riot gear. They even have like a smoke grenade and they're all going to their local towns and they show a picture of the town. It's like small. There's like 20 people at this damn thing. And luckily somebody just called in and said a little army is getting into a U-Haul. Literally.
So these
little,
were
they look like a little army. And,
these were like anti-gay people, and these were like counter-protesters.
Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, that's actually, you haven't seen this. That seems like it'd be right on your radar. Right?
I mean, that's really scary because, you know, there are a lot of these like small towns where Pride is like still very much something that, I mean, Reading was this way for a long time where like going to Pride was maybe kind of an iffy proposition, right?
Yeah.
Like in terms of your safety and just like, you know, they're always at Reading Pride. I haven't been to Pride up here. I honestly kind of doubt I'm going to go because it's like, why? It's like, it's not really a protest. It's just kind of a big party in Seattle, right?
And I'm not much of a party, so.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's just crowded and it's not very, it's not really my scene. But like, in Reading, there were always like religious, there were always like counter gay people. Groups.
Oh, there will be.
And they were peaceful, but like, it is very scary if there's only like 20 people at your Pride and then the like KKK shows up with guns. You know, that is like, we're in danger. That's intimidation.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they are armed, but they were, they did have riot shields gear on and a smoke grenade. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't
know
anything.
I mean, they could definitely like, I'm guessing these were like strapping young lads too, like.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were worst case scenario white men in their 40s.
Yeah, well, even, like a group of deranged people with riot gear is I think a threat.
Absolutely,
right?
Terrifying.
Yeah, like so. Oof.
When I went to the Pride here in Medford, the only, because I was all excited, I'm just all like, ooh, I get to walk past the line. You know, and Jazz is just all, they're going to think you're just one of them. Thanks a lot. Like, screw off, Jasmine. You know, so you got a beard and you're like, yeah, well, screw off. All right. So, but I get there and there's just one dude in like khaki shorts and he's got like a PA system strapped to his back and he's screaming about how we're out there teaching your babies about sex and all this stuff. And I'm like looking around and seeing a bunch of families and kids as this guy's yelling about child sex on this like PA speaker. I'm all like, I'm not sure this guy's entirely concerned what these kids hear, you know?
Right. Yeah. The only person blasting the inappropriate comment is this dude.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's like the abortion dudes, you know, they got a picture of an aborted fetus and they're hanging out on the street corner. There was one in Reading. And like, yeah, my joke exactly. was always that I just wanted a big sign, male genitalia on the other side, and then just sit kitty corner for a moment. If somebody comes and complains to me, I'd be all like, that's a freaking dead baby. 50% of the population have these, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, but you wouldn't get arrested.
Oh yeah. Like, well, my other was to have a sign that said, honk if you think that dude's mom should have had an abortion.
Oh God. Oof.
All right.
Yeah. It's just what this
just
whole
think it's weird to me. How do people even care? I must be the most self-centered person in the world. Because I know I say a bunch of stuff about, yeah, people should all have their rights. I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about my rights, my right to go out and not see people fight over some stupid ass crap when I'm going to the store or when I'm watching the news. I don't even think about what other people are up to doing and how they're doing. And when I see it, I want it fixed because I don't want to live in a world where that BS goes on.
Right.
Before I even get to the part of you hurt that person's feelings. You know, it's like, it's very self-centered of me, but I mean, these other people, they must be truly caring about other people's eternal souls or whatever, because I must be a terrible human.
Yeah. You know, truly, like, you know, wouldn't you want to live in a world where instead of having this giant battle over trans rights that is happening now, we just had people go, oh, well, I guess it's just like gay rights, so fine. And there just wasn't a battle about it. Like,
oh, you want to do something that doesn't affect me?
Right. How many times do we have to learn this lesson? Like, you know, we had the gay rights movement. We had the civil rights movement. We had... like women's suffrage, like how many times do we have to expand people's minds by inches before people just expand their minds, you know?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, features delicious deli sandwiches and burgers, like the Lucky Club, a specialty BLT, or their barbecue beef sandwich. You can also try Lucky's famous half-pound burger, peanut butter and jalapeno jelly burger, their A1 burger, or Lucky Miller's Master Burger. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order, or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., where our food speaks for itself.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
I was perfectly comfortable with my gender. Take this pill and you'll never have gender problems down the road. I doubt I would have really questioned it, right? Because I was five. So, yeah. You know, that is tough. And it's like, it's also like, if such a technology exists, would it be ethical to use it? Because it's generally, generally accepted among people that, like, it's wrong to obliterate a culture, right? Regardless of whether you are hurting people. And trans people have a culture, and if you, like, it's like the argument, if you could 100% eliminate deafness, would you? I think a lot of people would say yes, but I think a lot of deaf people would be like, that freaks me out, because deaf people have our own culture, and you're saying you want it gone.
Right.
So, like, but of course, yeah, it's a complicated question.
Well, you know, it is going away on some level, because Terry and I were talking about this. We talked about how she had gay friends and everything growing up. And so we move up here to Medford, and she's just all, you know, there's no gay bar here in town.
Right.
And, like, we were trying to think of, you know, some of the reasons as to why, you know. And obvious would be that Southern Oregon is just terrible. But that's not the case. I mean, the Pride was packed out way over what Reading would have, and Reading at points had two gay bars. You know, so supporting that with a scene is, and I finally thought to myself, I'm just, oh, well, gay kids are not the same as
gay
people our age. Gay people our age had to have their communities and be together, but I bet you gay kids today have the attitude of, screw that, I'm not going to my own place, I'm going to your place, and I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm living in your world, you know, right. And so that, maybe that situation doesn't exist quite as much anymore.
Yeah, I'm honestly, this is where I feel like I want to, like, talk to a gay teen about this, because I straight up don't really know how the kids these
days are feeling.
Yeah, you know,
purely speculating, but
yeah.
But I do know that, you know, in general, gay people don't feel the need to hide as much as they did.
Right. Well, they're less pushed into isolated camps. That's
right, for sure. All right. Well, obviously, this topic could go on for the rest of it. you read a new book.
Yeah, I did. So I read Linda Godfrey's book. We had her on years ago. Her book is called,
I want to say we had her on for The Beast of Bray Road.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what everything Linda Godfrey does is about.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
She sort of specializes in this. So I read Real Wolfman, True Encounters in Modern America. She's written a whole bunch of books that are basically the same thing, which is just a book of stories of people who have seen werewolves, essentially. So I read this, and it's like what we were talking about earlier. I love this book. I think it's super fun, and I recommend it to anyone who can handle it. Because, like, here's the thing. If you go to a magic show and you spend the entire show shouting, that's fake, magic isn't real, show me the studies, then you're a jerk. If you go to a magic show and you walk away thinking, like Arthur Conan Doyle did with Harry Houdini, wow, I can't believe magic is real, then you're an idiot. So, like, this is an awesome book. If you read this book and you find yourself convinced that it that werewolves are real, then you need to read the book more critically, right?
Right.
So that's my take on it, and I think that's my take on a lot of paranormal sort of books of this type. But I think this book is a lot better in this regard. I think it's a lot more rigorous and thoughtful.
Now, is Linda Gottfried's take that they are real? Or is her take that she's still trying to figure it out?
I think she definitely presents herself as I think the latter. I get the impression with a lot of stuff that, like, just turns of phrase and stuff, like, I think she probably believes to some extent, just because I think she would have, like, interrogated certain points in the book more if she was skeptical, or wouldn't have presented some points in, like, for instance, at some point she talks about, like, these eyewitnesses taking a polygraph test to show that they're truthful. It's like, okay, well, polygraphs are giant science. And if you were more skeptical of this topic, you probably wouldn't have brought up the polygraph test. Like, that
or
is
you
very...
You would have
qualified it by it. Right. Exactly. So there's stuff like that that makes me think, okay, she probably believes in this a little bit, at least. And, you know, the reason I say it's not good evidence is basically just it's all eyewitness stuff, and it's all, you know, I think everything that could happen in this, that happens in this book could definitely be explained by a mixture of stories being exaggerated or fabricated, people just not identifying animals well that they see in the dark for like 20 seconds years ago. Right? Like, it's just the normal problem with eyewitness stuff. And it's like, okay, but they're all like that. None of them are truthful. It's like, well, what's more likely? It's that or werewolves, you know?
Right.
So, but again, none of that is the point, right? It's a magic show. So you go to the magic show to be entertained. And I think this book very much captures a feeling of wonder. You get people who have seen crazy things, people with, who have seen werewolves sort of materialize from.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding. We will resume normal programming shortly. Thank you. With SRN Sports, I'm Ron DeRockstrom. Matt Fitzpatrick wins the U.S. Open, winning his first major on the same course where he took the U.S. amateur title 9 years earlier. He said that proved to be an advantage.
Having won the U.S. amateur here as well, I just felt so comfortable around this place. Nowhere to hit it, nowhere to miss it. Yeah, just happy to be unbeaten around this place.
The Englishman shot a 268 at the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts Sunday to finish at 6-under-274 and best Will Zatoris and Scottie Scheffler by one stroke. Fitzpatrick joins Jack Nicklaus as the only men to win a U.S. amateur and U.S. Open title and the same course. And for Zalatoris, it's the second straight time he's a bridesmaid. He lost to Justin Thomas in a playoff last month at the PGA Championship. Jennifer Kupcho wins the LPGA Meyer Classic at Blythefield Country Club. She won for the second time on the LPGA Tour. This is SRN Sports. Astros beat the White Sox 4-3. The Marlins down the Mets 6-2. Pitcher Sandy Alcantara said he appreciated the fact that His team's five-run seventh inning got him the win.
Every pitcher feels so happy when they score a lot of runs to you, and you feel a little bit, like, comfortable, you know, because you got the bonus to win the game. When they score those runs for me, I just say, okay, let's go outside and compete and win this game.
More than a half dozen home runs in the Blue Jays' win over the Yankees 10-9. Bombers had five players with dingers. Pirates beat the Giants 4-3. Jack Suwinski's third homer of the game, a walk-off bomb. Guardians 5-3 over the Dodgers. Braves shut out the Cubs 6-0. Red Sox hold off the Cardinals 6-4. Brewers beat the Reds 6-3. Angels blank the Mariners 4-0. Mike Trout homers for the fifth time in the five-game series. Orioles edge the Rays 2-1. Diamondbacks 7-1 over the Twins. Tigers beat the Rangers, Nationals, Rockies, and the A's all win. This is SRN Sports.
We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group, your primary care is our primary concern.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans in the nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Moment in History by KCNR Radio. The Potter's Cave is said to be among the finest in the United States. The first white man to enter the cave was J.A. Richardson in 1878. When deciding on a name for the cave, J.B. Potter was chosen, the man who became the first owner of the property in 1855. It's a limestone cave located by Shasta Caverns, archaeologists believe to be the possible locations of fossils of early man and extinct animals. Many thousands of specimens are found there, including 52 species, of which 21 are now extinct. The species included the short-faced bear, the shrub ox, the Shasta ground sloth, a horse, mammoth, bison, and a cameloid. The age of the Potter Creek Cave is supposedly not far from that of the earliest human deposits containing human remains found in Europe. It has, however, been determined that the bone implement-like pieces found in the original 1903 excavation are at least 8,000 years old, contributed by Dottie Smith.
Journalism allows its readers to witness history. Fiction gives its readers an opportunity to live it. John Hersey.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Our episode today is about journalism.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.